Tell you what, I'm very encouraged about what God's been doing over the last couple of months. When the ENC college students went to the conference, they had 13 kids got baptized. Young adults got baptized there. We baptized 7 last week here. Young adults, young people. I think then when the baptism was already up, Blake called me up on Thursday. Hey, can we baptize somebody Friday night? I said, absolutely. It's right out. Just go right ahead. So they baptized somebody else. So we've had about 21 people baptized in the last couple of months. That's pretty good here coming at the front of Maple, right? Let's keep believing God that more and more that's going to happen. Believe in God for that. This morning, I want to share with you some verses God has put on my heart. Felt a strong impression of the Lord about these verses, and I'm going to read them to you. Now, if you're a note taker in here today, you're going to be frustrated about my structure going forward on this. All right, just hear what I got to say, whether it's in order or not, or structured out for you. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. So the title of this sermon today is, Unless the Lord. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Give me the grace to share what you put on my heart this morning. Ask you to bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two things that are being pointed out here in this verse. Unless the Lord builds, and unless the Lord guards. Right. Now there's two different contexts that's taking place here. The Lord building your house, and God's building the house of God, I believe, is in this verse. Building your life, your house, your life, your family, except unless the Lord builds your life, your family, as well as the house of God, the church. And we're going to talk about both of those. Unless the Lord builds the church, we labor in vain who do it. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain who do it. God wants to build your house, for we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field, God's building. That's what it says about you as a person. Unless you ask God to be a part of your house, he's not going to do it. Now, the Lord sometimes will supersede us, but most of the time, the Lord wants us to ask him to be a part of our house. When I say our house, I mean our marriages. I mean our child rearing. I mean our classes that we take. Our careers, our jobs. Unless the Lord builds the house, your house, we labor in vain who build it. Yes. Now you might can get to a certain level of success on your own, but in the end, you're going to be empty, needing something from God. You're going to be empty. You can have all the money in the world. You could drive the Lamborghini. You can do all those things, but it's only going to lend in emptiness unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord comes into your life. Some of you need, we all need, some of us need help in our marriages. What's happening in our marriage? Are you asking God to come into your marriage? Those of us who are married? Boy, I got quiet. Are we asking God to come into our marriage? Or all we doing is criticizing? Good. Let me just challenge you. If you're married in here today, do a little marital counseling up here in the front. It's easy to pick out the negative things. But if you will pick out one positive thing about your spouse every day, you will find your whole attitude changes. You can find one positive thing. You said, I can't find nothing positive. You need to get on your face before God and start searching your heart. There's got to be something positive that you can find about your spouse. And you will realize your whole heart will begin to change toward them. About your job. I hate my job. Find one positive thing that you can say about your job. And every day, say one positive thing about it. So good, and ask the Lord to be a part of that, because unless the Lord builds it, you're going to be empty. Unless the Lord builds it, we labor in vain. You say, I can't find one positive thing about my job. Well, get another job. Believe God for another job if it's that bad. But I have a feeling if you begin to say something positive, you'll have your whole attitude will be changing. Your whole attitude of life will be changing because we need to invite the Lord into our lives. Not just relegate Him to Sunday morning, prayer time in the Word. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life, right down to getting up in the morning, going to work, driving to work, being there, and how you treat people. Oh, no. Unless the Lord builds the house. God wants to build you. We are His fellow workers. We are God's building. He wants to build your jobs. He wants to build your finances, believe it or not. That's why God wants you to give so He can bless you. That's why He tells you to tithe, give tithes to the church and offer, because He wants to bless you. Building the foundation of your life, let Him be a part of your jobs. Let Him be a part of your family. Let Him be a part of what's happening. You mothers at home alone trying to change those diapers, God wants to be a part of that with you. Believe it or not, He wants to be a part. Help you build the next generation. Unless the Lord builds the house. And sometimes when God is saying, let me build your house, sometimes He's going to ask you to sacrifice. Sometimes He's going to ask you to surrender to a greater level. Now, most people feel like, well, I have to surrender means God's going to make me do something I don't want to do. I remember when I was a bachelor. I don't want to get married because I'm afraid He's going to make me marry somebody I don't want to marry. Anybody ever thought that? Any of you single people ever thought that? Let me repeat that since y'all didn't hear that. The devil used to come to me and say, God's going to make you marry somebody you don't want to marry if I really surrender my life to Jesus. Well, let me just tell you this. I surrendered this area in my life, and I ended up with a 10 times better woman than I could have got on my own. Anybody know? A lot better looking, a lot smarter. Tell you what. The only reason Jesus wants you to surrender is so He can bless you. Because He knows what's best for you. You don't know what's best for yourself. You may think you do, but you don't. I've seen God rescue me from times and rescue me from myself. Because He said, unless the Lord builds the house of your life. I remember when God was trying to get me to surrender some areas to Him. Because He knew what was best for me. I remember some of those guys were talking about this the other night. You know, I remember I was in college. I mean, I got so many of these stories about God making me surrender. But let me just start back at the beginning of my walk with God. I remember riding down Western Boulevard. I went to NC State at the time. I was driving down Western Boulevard, and I was driving this 1971 Plymouth Duster, yellow, jacked up, Keystone rim, white leather tires, vinyl top. I think the only person in this, Mike might have seen that car, but nobody else probably saw that car. Kevin Wilburn probably saw it, but I don't see him here this morning. Back in my college days. That was a Wilson County car right there, let me tell you. I saw one the other day and thought, oh, I missed that car. Oh, I wish I had it be worth a fortune right now. It's a classic. Especially those Keystone chrome rims I had on that thing. But anyway, I'm driving down Western Boulevard. And many of you don't know this, but I was in bands. I was a bass player in bands when I was 15 years and up. About 15 years old. I was in bands. I played bass in the church here about 15 years before I gave it up. I still got all my equipment. I can't get rid of my equipment, but I still got the stuff. I put that thing on Max. This will be a side note. I put that bass on Max the other day. Put that strap on him. I said, you look really good with that on you, son. Maybe that'll help him. I can teach you if you'll let me. And so, where was I? I interrupted myself. And anyway, I was going down Western Boulevard in this car. I hadn't been saved very long. I hadn't given my life to God very long. And this Van Halen song came over that nice speaker I had in the back. Panama. Anyway, it was coming down there. And I was getting into it. And all of a sudden, this small, still voice came in and said, you enjoying that too much. You're enjoying that too much. I had an idol in my life, and it was music. You're enjoying it too much. Not that anything particularly wrong with rock music. Everybody knows classic rock is by far the best. So I think that's pretty understood. But I'm saying that God put a finger on something in my life. Now if I accidentally go by and hear a Journey song, it's fine. It doesn't bother me if I'm going out a radio station. But at that time in my life, God says that gray area, because I believe music is a gray area. I believe music can be used for good. It can be used for bad. The words is what really makes a lot of it. I mean, there's some stuff I question. But anyway, but God was putting his finger on something I needed to surrender at that point in my life. Even though it was a gray area, it wasn't seen. But God was saying, you need to surrender that. So if you want the Lord to build the house, if you want him to get involved in your life, there's going to be some times he's going to challenge you to surrender something in your life for something better. Now it's not a problem for me. But back then, you know, somebody come up and witness to me, and I said, I ain't giving up my rock and roll music. I mean, come on. That's an idol when somebody says that. I said that to somebody one time. So God wants to build your life, but unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. Let the Lord build your life. Let the Lord build your future. Let the Lord interject in every aspect of your life, and you won't regret it. He might take you down a path you're not interested in at the moment, but it'll be for your benefit and for your good. The Lord wants to build this church. God wants to build the houses as Moses has lifted up a serpent in the wilderness. Serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Another in John 12. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, would draw all men to myself. It's referring to being lifted up from the crucifixion and the resurrection. His exaltation, where he died on the cross and rose from the dead, and he's exalted to the right hand of the Father. If I be lifted up. The reason we exist as a church is to glorify God and to reach this city. That's why we're here. What do we do? Eddie asked me, what do you do? We win the lost, we make disciples, we train leaders. We win people to Jesus. We make disciples, we train leaders. What are we doing next week? Winning people, making disciples, training leaders. What are we doing next month? Winning people, training leaders, making disciples. What are we doing a year from now? Winning people, making disciples, training leaders. If there's any doubt while we're here, I hope that answers it for you. We are here to win the lost. We're here to win people, make disciples, train leaders. That's why we do the Easter special Easter services, so we can go out and reach out. That's why we have Pirates. We're going out to Pirates Fest and out there, you know, helping children with these little, what are those things called? Little boats that I can't hardly put together. Here I am, 50-some years old. I can't even put together a boat. I have to get the young kids to help do it because we want to serve the community. We want to reach out to the young people and these families. That's why we're having Easter service special. That's why we're having a special moment for the kids. That's why we have VBS to reach out. That's why we have Hope Together Sunday, because we want to win people to Jesus. If you're in here today, we want to win you to Jesus today. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I want to win you to Jesus today. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have this church building. We want to win people. That's why God put us on this corner, because we want to win people. We want to love people. Love God. Love the world. That's what we want to do. We want to love God. We want to love the world. We want to love this city. Unless the Lord builds the house. What's his best? Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Let's look at the second part of that verse. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Why do we have church on Sunday? Because there is protection in the city. There is protection in the church. There's protection in a community of believers. There's something that happens when we have corporate prayer, especially when you got Betty Bass up here singing. Something good happens. There's a presence of God. There's a sense of belonging and a camaraderie. We need Jesus so that we won't stay awake in vain. I believe it's referring to staying awake so that the watchman, you're a watchman over your family. You're a watchman over yourself, your children. Jesus is ultimately your watchman. That's why we need Jesus in it. Because there are going to be moments in life where you're stressed out. Blake prayed for it. You're going to be overwhelmed. Going to feel depressed. Things like that happen. But we need Jesus. Because unless what? The Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord. Psalm 3:3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this day forth and forever." So the Lord puts a guard over his people. Let's go down to verse 2 here. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors." One translation says, "eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep." Gives to, or another translation says, "gives his beloved sleep." You know, when I see this, it's vain to rise up early and to retire late. Now, I know there's some natural advice there that comes out. People say, well, you know, you stay up late that night, there's a ball game on, and the next morning you feel so bad and miserable, you can't hardly function. So there are some natural instructions that we can gain from this, but I believe there's a deeper meaning to what he's trying to say here. I believe what he's trying to say is that striving in your own human efforts is only going to lead to exhaustion. Striving after your own strength to do something is only going to make your daily life a struggle. Day in and day out. There's an emptiness that comes, a lack of fulfillment that comes if you don't have Jesus involved in that. Vain to rise up early, to retire late. You need Jesus in your daily life. The next part here says, to eat the bread of painful labors. I tell you what, living apart from the joy of the Lord is tough. It says, eating the bread. You can work all day. You can strive, but it can be pain, and the pain of life can hit you. But you need Jesus here so that you're not eating those painful, anxious toil, as he said. And he says he gives his beloved sleep. I believe he's referring to peace, fulfillment, security, hope, and rest. That's what he's trying to say here. He gives you rest. So you may go through it all. You may strive through this stuff in your own strength. But God is saying, let me come to you. Let me help you. Let me pour it out on you. Let me bless you. Let me help you. Let me be in your life. Let me build your house. Now, I put a lot of emphasis right here on what Jesus will do for you. But part two here does not mean we don't do our own part as well in this. Psalm 126 says, "When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south.'" And here's the two verses I'm going to highlight. "For those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." So sowing in tears, that could be the struggles of life, the battle, the challenges of life. Sowing, prayers, believing, faith, and diligence. How many of us sometimes we feel like we're sowing and not reaping anything? We're working hard, don't see the result or the end results in this. But the promise is, the last part of the verse says, "shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro carrying his bag of seed." In other words, keep sowing. You know what I'm admired people who are salesmen, saleswomen. The fact that you go out and have to make all these contacts sowing, and that you can make drum up business and sell and stuff. I'm always been amazed at people who could do that. I can't do that. Heck, when I was growing up, I hated. We used to make us go sell candy bars door to door. Anybody ever done that before? You're a kid growing up? Maybe it's my generation. We had to go to candy bars. I hated selling a candy bar. I ended up buying most of them myself because I just didn't want to have to go out and sell it. But you got to go out and reap it and sow. And it's like life is that way. You got to keep throwing the seed out. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on that man or woman who's driving you crazy. Don't give up on that family member. Keep sowing. Come on over here and sow some more seed. Weeping, believing God, praying, yes. Believing. And then let the Lord build the house. Keep believing, keep sowing, keep trusting. Don't give up. Keep moving. That's what I believe this passage is trying to tell us, to be diligent, to persevere. I want to be rich. I've had people tell me, I want to be rich. You know, I was noticing, I was reading an article, and one of the things that people are very obsessed with today, young people, is I just want to be rich. I'm like, well, I want you to be rich so you can tithe and give to the church. I want you to be rich. I don't care what you drive. I mean, but let me tell you something. You're going to have some diligence. You're not going to come out of college. Most people, now there are some exceptions, are going to come out of college making everything they want right off the bat. Now, there's a few exceptions, but most of the time, you've got to have some diligence. You've got to sow your seed. You've got to be weeping and sowing and paying the price. And don't expect in 5 years I'm going to be rich. There's a few exceptions, I granted, but it isn't going to be most of us. Diligent, perseverance, sowing your seed, weeping, believing, to and fro. You know, there's those old sayings that we used to have, keep on keeping on. That's probably an old saying, I guess, my generation. Anybody ever heard that over here on the side? Keep on keeping on? Well, you're my generation. How about any keep on keeping on? One person raised his hand over here, Blake, what are you teaching these people over there? Keep on keeping on. Tough. Oh, now, this is an old statement right here. Tough times don't last, but tough people do.
All right.
Now, if any of my generation remember that, if you don't remember that one, you need to memorize that one. Of course, Winston Churchill says, if you're going through hell, just keep going. Don't stop there. Just keep going. Keep right on. Y'all get that? Keep right on. That's a country song, too. You know, I think that might be a rock song that might go along with that one, too. But thank you for that. I appreciate it. But it says, shall a deed come again with a shout of joy, bringing sheaves with them. So the promise is sheaves is a bundle of grain. A bundle of grain, the fruit of all that sowing. Say they shall come again with a whole bunch of those sheaves. I believe that's for us. We can have that with this scripture if we make Jesus Lord. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. You know, our church here, we're wanting to, just as you need to sow seed for your personal life, we as church are sowing seed. That's what we're doing as we're out about in the community, sowing seed, as we're giving out guest cards, sowing seed, as we're at Pirates Fest, sowing seed, and just wanting to love the city. Just wanting to love people and love the city. Love God, love people. Let me read one more verse to you. This verse in many ways sums up this whole sermon. It's a New Testament verse. It says, what then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants to whom you believed, even as God gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. God was causing the growth. Get back to my front note. God calls it. So unless the Lord builds the house. So then whether the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. So again, in two verses he's saying it's about God. God causes the growth. Unless the Lord builds the house. That's what he's saying. Unless the Lord does it. Unless you put your faith in God. I want you to walk out of here today with some faith. That it ain't going to be just what's happening right now in your life is not going to be there forever. That God can get you through. Somebody say, yes, Eddie, or something. Help me. Come on. Thank you. Come on, Irene. Speak to me a little bit. I need some help. So neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. God causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's the verse I just read to you about sowing and reaping. Him who sows in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Those verses basically say the same thing. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field, God's building. I read that earlier. We are God's fellow workers. We are God's field, God's building. God, I believe, has your best interest at heart for you. Unless the Lord builds the house in your life, you can gain a certain level of success, but it's going to be empty. It's going to be this empty spot. It's still going to be inside of you. So you can reach the height of your profession. You can have all the money in the world. You can do all that you want and travel the world, but it'll only be temporal and it'll be in vain unless you submit it to Jesus. Then you could be at the height of your career or your family, and it could be the most fulfilling, joyful, exciting moment in your life. If you'll let Jesus build the house, if you let the Lord be the one that builds your house. If you'll let him, if you'll surrender your life to him, if you'll surrender those secret things to him that only he knows about, he will bless you and touch you in a way you never thought possible. He will use you in ways you never thought possible if you'll surrender your way. Because he really does know what's best for us. You can trust him for that. He knows what's best for us. As I look back over my life, there are some things that I still to this day don't understand about certain things that happened to me and my family. But I'll tell you this, I know that there's a good God out there. And I know that in the midst of the trial, he doesn't promise you no trials. He doesn't promise you that there's not going to be any trouble in your life. He didn't promise you any of those things. But what he does promise you is to be there through it all. And even when you don't understand it, he'll be there with you if you let him build your house. Let the Lord build the house. Unless the Lord builds the house, I believe if you let the Lord build the house, no matter what happens in life, you'll say, Lord, I don't understand it. I might be stressed out, but I know that you got something going to work this out for me. Somehow, some way, in the middle of all this, you're going to get some glory for this. If nothing else, it's going to change me to where I'm more like you and I'm closer to you than ever before. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are the one who builds the house. We trust you this morning for it, Lord. I pray for those this morning, Lord, who may have been struggling with things in life. There's some stress, anxiety, pressures of life, disappointments. Lord, I just sense right now there's some people who have had some disappointments that you're dealing with right now. There's some disappointments that you're having in your life right now. And I just pray for those people that have had disappointments, that have had things that have just gone the wrong way for them. Lord, you never promised us everything was going to be easy, but you promised us that you would be with us no matter what happens. And Lord, I just pray for those people now who are struggling with disappointment, heartache. Let them know how much you care for them. Let them know, Lord, that you are strong on their behalf. Let them know, Jesus, that no matter what they see on the right or the left or the front or the back, that you're with them through it all. Lord Jesus, those who are disappointed, maybe a little shocked by what's happened in their hearts and their lives, going through some real challenges financially, going through some real challenges mentally, emotionally, physically. God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would be a God right now who would meet them where they are, and that you would show them how much you love them, that you would show them how much you care for them, that you would show them that you're there for them no matter what has happened, no matter what is going on, no matter what the struggle may be. I just pray that your encouragement would begin to well up within them, the encouragement of the Spirit of God would come with them. The disappointment, the heartache, those, maybe there's some people right now who are sowing in tears right now. Lord, your promise is that they're going to reap the reward, God. That they're going to have the sheaves wrapped up in their arms, Lord. The fruit of the labor, the fruit, Father. We ask for the comfort of your Holy Spirit to work through each person this morning. God, I know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I trust that you're going to have your way. If you prayed that prayer with me today, just raise your hand so I know. Anybody, just raise your hand, those who would be going through that. Thank you. All over the place. You put your hands down. Lord Jesus, help each person this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now as we end the service, Lord. This morning, if you need prayer after we finish the last song, I want you to just come up front and let's pray together with you. We want to make sure that anything that you're going through this morning, that we can pray and we can help strengthen you this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name.